This is a special episode from the Sourced Podcast Network, home of its 505. I'm Mark Miller, founder and executive producer. With ChatGTP being the rage right now, I think it's important that we step back and evaluate where AI transformation engines are going and how they might be used in the near future. My first avenue of exploration is to find out how accurate the current state of AI is when it comes to its output responses. I called my friend John Willis, one of the premier experts on W. Edwards Deming. We started talking about how to prove or disprove the accuracy of the information being produced by ChatGTP. After talking a bit, we thought it would be fun to do something like the reaction videos on YouTube, where people react in real time to a video. In this case, I asked John to react to the output of three AI engines when we asked them questions about Deming. We chose three engines: ChatGTP, for obvious reasons, Jasper, and Perplexity. What follows are John's reactions in real time to a simple question posed to the chat engines. Summarize the direct connections between Edwards Deming and DevOps. What you are about to hear is the immediate reaction to the AI responses. We hope this will help you understand how chat engines can be of use and how you can't take what they output at face value. Let's get started. John, what's in front of you right now?
So what I did is I opened up ChatGPT 3.5 and then ChatGPT interfaces, ones that I use for different reasons, mostly for research. There's another tool called Jasper. Jasper were really one of the first commercial tools outside of OpenAI to create an interface to GPT. They've got incredible sort of writing tools and all this stuff. When ChatGPT came, they added theirs. One of the things they do is they have a little bit of secret sauce because they're data scientists. They use the APIs from OpenAI. You'll see in some of the examples, there's a little bit of IP around their secret sauce of trying to be better than just base OpenAI. And then the last is this tool that's just fascinating called Perplexity, which they've built some hybrid. The thing about Perplexity is it uses ChatGPT under the covers. They do another that's sort of secret sauce because they cite references and links. By definition, that's almost impossible, or should be impossible to do, because the whole point is that the model that's aggregated billions of words that you shouldn't be able to, but somehow they've done something very clever. Right now, it's my favorite research tool. Give me the question one more time, Mark.
We've asked it the question, summarize the direct connections between Edwards Deming and DevOps in ChatGTP. Here's what ChatGTP came back with. Edwards Deming and DevOps share a philosophy of continuous improvement and collaboration. Deming emphasized the importance of involving all employees in the improvement process and breaking down silos between departments. This aligns with the DevOps approach of cross-functional teamwork and rapid feedback loops to continuously deliver value to customers. Additionally, Deming's total quality management framework emphasizes the importance of continuous improvement and reducing waste, which is a key aspect of the DevOps culture.
I mean, those first couple of sentences basically nailed almost 10 years ago when I was challenged to look at Deming and how it compared to DevOps. I couldn't say it better. Mm. The only sort of thing that I think is inconsistent, and again, I'll take that. That was a beautiful paragraph, is Deming really didn't like the idea of TQM and had a lot of fights with ISO. That was some weirdness between Deming being very blunt. So I think if Deming was reading this right now, he would, and he heard about DevOps, he would love this answer. He would probably grunt when he heard about Deming's TQM. He wouldn't like it described that way.
In the book that you've got coming out, do you cover his feeling about TQM?
A little bit. There's a little bit of an interesting sideline that I didn't want to go some deep. I wrote a blog once called Tupac and Biggie. There's East Coast lean and Midwest lean. The East Coast lean literally go out of their way to, I could get myself in trouble here, but purposely exclude Demi in the conversation. Whereas like Michigan, University of Michigan, guys like Rother and people that came out of that, they have their work, just like Stephen Spear has MIT and Harvard. They attribute Deming like as a bookend. Like, hey, a lot of this comes from Deming and Tillian and Toyota, and they'll sort of end up with that where it is non-existent. And I even asked some of those guys, I'm not going to put them on a spot. They say things like Deming had nothing to do with Toyota, which is just nonsense. Now, I cover that pretty heavily. I don't call them out. I talked to the guy who wrote the Go Rat Deming book, and he said that Deming went up there and really just pissed those guys off. Because I asked him that question, why is there like a East Coast, West Coast, like Deming is war almost, you know? He said, yeah, I think my answer would be that when he went up to Harvard and MIT and they were sort of thinking about TQM, Deming very blunt. Like Deming doesn't mix his words. He tells you what he thinks. And his theory was they didn't like that. Well, let's try one of the other tools.
So we're going to post the same question to Jasper.
Yeah, and like I said, the interesting thing about Jasper, it's probably going to come pretty close, but I noticed that they'll document that they make the open API calls. I try to even get the developers early on, what do you do with this parameter? And they won't tell me. There's some interesting parameters in the API calls to just GPT, and one's on truthfulness. There's a little dial you can say how much you want it to be fictional. I was trying to see if they would expose their use of that, and they wouldn't do it.
Right now, then, we're looking at Jasper Chat.
Yeah, it's jasper.ai. It's a fantastic tool. One thing about Jasper, too, on the screen print, it's one place. They also have art, so they include the Dolly stuff. And I paid for a yearly subscription for it. It's a little pricey, but I go to Jasper most often if I'm using pure open AI tools just because it has everything in one place.
Here we go now. Jasper Chat has responded.
Same API, but this is a little bit of their secret sauce. Go ahead.
Edwards Deming was an influential figure in the history of DevOps. He's often credited with popularizing statistical process control and creating the 14 points for total quality management, both of which are highly relevant in DevOps practices. His teachings emphasize the importance of collaboration between teams as well as continuous improvement processes, both of which are key elements in operationalizing effective DevOps practices.
So here again, this is an interesting response. So you notice it's different.
Well, you brought up the 14 points.
Yeah. That, in fact, that was my original entree when one of my mentors, Ben Rockwood, challenged me to see Deming's influence on all the stuff we were talking about in the early days of DevOps. And he said, I'll tell you what, just Google Deming's 14 points, which comes out of his original book. And I tell that people now, if you just want to have a boilerplate summary of what his influence is, look at his 14 points. And one of the things I want to point out is if we went back to ChatGPT, the next answer might add 14 points. It's random. It's a probability model. But the two things that were common in both answers, which is very important, was how Deming thought about the team's collaboration, the human condition. And I spend a lot of time on his arc of the human condition, his teaching emphasis on the importance of collaboration between teams. And the other one really went
in. I thought ChatGPT did a better job of that as far as...
Yeah, it definitely did. But they did include 14 points. This is the key to why using these tools is research. One of the things I found early on with the original GPT stuff was you really had to be careful about the information you got back because it really is, it's not sentient. It doesn't have a sense of humor. It could pick up biases because it's just reading mostly what's been on the internet. What I found really quickly was not to rely on exactly what it says, but to triangulate the information you get from multiple searches and boards. And then ChatGPT has just made it so much better. But they didn't have 14 points. You're right. I think the original ChatGPT did a better job pointing out what is probably the most important thing about Deming is his humanistic tendencies and why he thinks that's so important. Let's go to Perplexity. So Perplexity was a gift somebody gave me. It definitely uses the new GPT 3.5. So it is sort of a correlated solution to ChatGPT. The thing I found about this one is it gives you the same kind of summary information of a lot of stuff summarized, like we saw in ChatGPT and Jasper. But it cites URLs, and to me, that's invaluable. Whatever the summary you get, don't put that in your research. You need to go ahead and make sure and understand where that comes from, what's the point, why is it making this point. Without Perplexity, you have to just go out in the wild. You can ask further questions, but basically what happens here, we'll take the same exact question.
When you can see the resources, it really is almost like real research in a way.
It is. And then one of the things, if you see here, like there's a view detailed. The key point here is, we could do the view detailed, so it's just, it'll be more like what ChatGPT and Jasper gave us. I think at this point, I should have just done the summary, but notice that if you look at the screen prints, you can see that it'll say Edward Deming is widely considered the father of quality Mandarin. Notice it didn't say TQM. And then it has a footnote, and down here, it's a globalknowledge.com link.
Yeah.
So it's basically somehow figuring out, it must, again, these are really smart people build these products, but they have this sort of index system. They must go back and try to figure out where it came from.
You know what I like here, too, and we haven't read it out loud yet, but we will, is that they actually turn him into a person here. Before, it was conceptual and theoretical.
That's cool.
Let's read this out loud. W. Edward Deming is widely considered the father of quality management. He was an American engineer, statistician, professor, author, lecturer, and management consultant who developed the 14 points for management, which are still used today in many organizations. His philosophy of total quality management focused on continual improvement and effectiveness. Deming's contributions to quality management have been influential in the development of DevOps. DevOps is a set of practices that combine software development and IT operations to shorten the system's development lifecycle while delivering features, fixes, and updates frequently in close alignment with business objectives. This aligns with Deming's philosophy of continual improvement and effectiveness. Additionally, Deming's 14 points for management are applicable to DevOps as they emphasize customer focus, continuous improvement, employee improvement, and other key principles that are essential for successful DevOps implementation. What I like there is our question was about DevOps. However, the first paragraph was about Deming to say this is who he was.
Yeah, I think in general, they've done a better job of summarizing or answering our question. Two, like they have the links. I think they have, they're using a probability engine as well to say pretty sure that GPT, the model, the trained model, had to have gotten it from here, which is really clever. There's five links from different, like Wikipedia, MIT.edu, Global Knowledge. But here's the other thing, Mark, that I love too. So one of the things, like I told you, when I'm doing research, like that was pretty straightforward, but if I'm trying to learn something, I can't accept that this is actual truth. So if I see a statement, like even this TQM statement, remember I said earlier, my opinion that Deming would be not happy being associated with TQM, but that is number five, and we can just see what BLUK says. Now, this is some guy's blog that basically talks about his life and his career and key theories, and somewhere in here, he's going to talk about TQM. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the point being that maybe somebody coached me like, John, you're full of beans. He was TQM. I'm like, all right, well, calm down. And I'll go through Perplexity and say, okay, you're right. There's a fair amount of people that do. This is my opinion based on my research, which is pretty extensive, that he wouldn't have liked it, but fair point. But the other thing that is, I think, is absolutely fascinating on this is, as you start interacting with these type of tools, the hardest part is figuring out like how to ask the right question. What should the question include? What Perplexity does, it gives you alternate questions.
I see that at the bottom. What is the history of this?
Not only is it sort of the links here, but like maybe somebody asked me to ask the question. I'm like, do I really understand DevOps?
Isn't that, though, an extension of what Google's been doing for years? Suggestions?
I totally agree. But here's the thing. I don't know the mechanics, of course. I can only guess. But the first cut, it is going to the model, which is this AI language model that is just incredibly intelligent. This is why the whole world is fascinated by it, which is really just probability. But think about what you have to do if you're just Google searching. You literally go pages and pages, whereas it's basically using the model. But then with Perplexity, it's allowing you to, like, imagine it did all this AI stuff to get you that summary, which you would have had to spend maybe an hour or so to do that. And then you would have to jot down where those links came from. I've done this prior to this. Whereas now I have a summary and it already has the link. So it saves me hours of research time. And then if I didn't ask my question the right way, it's like, hey, you might have wanted to ask this question as well. So here's the history of DevOps, right? We could spend hours on whatever the answer is going to be here, but Patrick DeBar. DevOps is a methodology in the software development and IT industry that integrates and automates the work of development and operation terms. One, Wikipedia. It first emerged in 2007 when Patrick DeBar, a consultant, project manager, and agile practitioner, had difficulty switching between development and operations. That's basically true. Since then, DevOps has grown in popularity with large companies such as Amazon, Netflix, Target, Adobe.
Let's be clear, though, John. What you're reading right now did not come from the AI engine. This is an article that it pointed to.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know for sure. It might actually be, I don't know. My guess is it actually did come from the AI language model.
Oh.
And then, actually, because here's the reference to that. So here's what I think is happening, and for its worth, I think it's an interesting discussion. I'd love to have somebody who is an AI language model or GPT expert to tell me. I think they do the first level summary from what they get from the model. Then they go and do a probability match on just SEO for those things. For example here, I don't see anything about 2007. And it listed this as the reference. That's an indication that the first set of paragraphs was generated from the AI language model.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking for Patrick's name in there.
Patrick's in here, I think. I thought I saw Patrick's name. But it didn't say 2007, and that was the reference. That means they figured out what was the highest probability article. Mm-hmm. There's another tool called Frass.io that I use. It uses GPT for the same thing. If we ask this question in Frass, what it will do is it'll just rank order all the highest SEO sites. Mm-hmm. And it's actually another great tool for research because then you can just cut and paste pieces of it.
What I want to do now is summarize the three. As far as what we've seen here with the three outputs, in general, they were all good. They were generally in the ballpark.
Very good. Still, I wouldn't, and even the founders of OpenAI, I pointed out some tweets in my DevOps.com article. They say do not rely on this OpenAI for work that would matter.
But as the Deming expert, when you look at these, there's nothing that said, no, this is just wrong.
No. And again, what I've learned over time is just don't trust, like you would with any research. Just because Bob Jones wrote an article about some topic, I don't like, okay, this must be the fact truth, right? Like I have to go find other articles, look for other research, and come up with my own. And that's what research is. Nobody knows the real answer to any question.
My thought here, too, is ChatGTP is getting all of the attention because they launched and it just went so big so fast. However, when we look and actually rank these as far as what would actually be usable as a resource, I think ChatGTP came in bottom of the stack on these three that we just did.
I think you're right. There is this interesting evolution, right? ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is free. I think the pay for maybe is going to be better. So Jasper is pay for. So you're paying a little bit for some data scientists who actually have been working with GPT-3 as long as any other vendor. They are experts. And so you're paying for some of their secret sauce expertise around just ChatGPT. But then Perplexity is just another group that is basically using the same APIs that ChatGPT uses, but they've figured out another form of a secret sauce. Right now, Perplexity is free, but as soon as they make me pay for it, I'm going to pay for it. I don't go to Google anymore. I used to go to Frass.io first for my sort of dump all the sort of top articles about a topic and see what everybody. I mean, I could read through 1,000 pages in a very short period because it has them all listed. But I don't even go there now. I go to Perplexity first. And I'm training myself. Any question, even if it's an argument on Twitter, like I literally say, you know what? Let's go to Perplexity first. And almost every time, I don't need to go anywhere else.
That was our first reaction series to a simple request of the AI engines. Next week, we'll ask it something a little more complex. Who created the economic miracle in Japan? And we'll get some some really surprising results back. This is Mark Miller and John Willis. We look forward to seeing you next week when once again John will go head-to-head with AI engines talking about Deming. This production of Deming, AI versus John Willis, is a bonus episode from It's 505, the daily cybersecurity and open source news show.